have read in the Bible that God so loved sinners that he let his son die in their place. Pay the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guy. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guy, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, we're back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne.
Today, once again, we're going to be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And for the sake of saving time, we're only going to be reading 4 verses of Scripture, that being verses 10 through 13. And here in this passage, the Word of God says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of life. And as I bring this message today, I pray that you will help me to say every word that needs to be said. And I pray that the Spirit of God will do that which needs to be done in the heart and in the life of every listener. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the 11th part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? Will you be able to stand in the hour of battle? But before that we proceed, there are some things that we need to say by way of review to bring us up to the place where we left off on the broadcast last week. Now in the weeks prior to this, we have already stated that here in the book of Ephesians, in these various chapters, the Apostle Paul deals with the believer a little different. Here in chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. Then in chapter number 6, we have the believer's warfare. And here in chapter 6, in verses 10 through 20, we have two things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, we have the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Second, we have the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now the Apostle Paul, in closing this lofty epistle, condescends to a battlefield. And the reason that he condescends to a battlefield is because the believer's life is lived on a battlefield. The Christian is a soldier in God Almighty's army. And the Christian is called upon to fight the good fight of faith and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now in the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with verses 10 and 11 and with the most part of verse number 12. And when we went off the broadcast last week, we were dealing with the closing words of verse number 12. And here the Apostle Paul speaks of spiritual wickedness in high places. And I stated that these words, high places, as is found in verse number 12, is only used one time in the New Testament. But this expression is used often in the Old Testament. And many times, this expression in the Old Testament is mentioned in connection with religion and places of worship. Religion and places of worship. And my friend, I've said that to say this. The devil's chief energies is in the business of religion and the spiritual realm. The devil's chief energies is in the business of religion and the spiritual realm. Now on the broadcast last week, I asked a question, but I did not have the time to answer the question. So on the broadcast today, we're going to ask the question again, and also answer the question. Now this is the question that I ask. Where would you look if you wanted to find one of the devil's greatest masterpieces? Let me ask that once again. Where would you look if you wanted to find one of the devil's greatest masterpieces? Now my friend, many people today, when they think of the work of the devil, they will look to that wine old man in the gutter, and they will say, just look at that man. There is the work of the devil. They will say, there is is one of the devil's masterpieces. Now listen to me, my friend. That rhino is certainly under the control and the power of the devil. Most certainly he is. But I want you to realize today that the devil's chief energies is in the business of religion and the spiritual realm. Now, on the broadcast last week, we asked this question. And after we asked the question, we read two verses of Scripture, that being Genesis chapter 3 with verse number 5, and also Isaiah chapter 14 with verse number 14. And we pointed out, after reading these two verses, that the Word of God in these verses makes it very clear that many times it is the aim of the devil to make a person as godlike as possible without God. Did you hear what I just said? I'm going to say it again. Many times it is the aim of the devil to make a person as godlike as possible without God. Without God. Listen to me, my friend. One of Satan's masterpieces is the good, upright, honest, honorable, respected individual in the community who thinks that they do not need Jesus Christ. That is one of the devil's masterpieces. Most certainly. The man concerning whose character there is no question. Against whose reputation there is no flaw. But who leaves Jesus Christ out of his life is one of Satan's delights. This man is one of Satan's masterpieces. Oh yes. My friend, many times the devil tries to make his children as much like God as it is possible for them to be, without their ever putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And all that leads me to say this. One of the greatest masterpieces of the devil is the individual who stands in the pulpit presenting themselves as a man of God when they are really a lost person under the control and the power of the devil. Oh yes, listen, my friend. Many of these fellows around today who step into their collar instead of backing into their collar are of the devil. Many people throughout the land today who present themselves as ministers of righteousness are really of the devil. Most certainly, this is what Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. If you really want to find one of the greatest masterpieces of the devil, just look in the pulpit of one of these modernistic churches today. If you really want to find one of the greatest masterpieces of the devil, just look in the pulpit of one of these liberal churches today. If you really want to find one of the greatest masterpieces of the devil, just look in the pulpit at the man who poses as a minister of righteousness, but at the same time denies the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, denies the power of the blood, denies the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, denies the miracle of the new birth, denies the second coming of Jesus Christ. My friend, when a man denies these eternal truths, that man is lost. That man is lost. And when a man denies these eternal truths, but yet stands in the pulpit and poses as a man of God. That is one of the devil's greatest masterpieces. Most certainly this is so. So we find that the devil's chief energies is in the business of religion and the spiritual realm. And in accordance with this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the devil is referred to as the god of this world. The god, little G-O-D, the god of this world. Now listen, my friend, this tells us that the devil is the director and the arranger of this world's false religions. Most certainly he is. And the devil receives worship from its devotees. And I might say at this time that the devil today receives much more worship than what many people suppose. So we find that the devil's chief energies is in the business of religion and the spiritual realm. Now this time, I want to begin dealing with verse number 13. Here in this verse, the Word of God says this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now I want you to notice that verse number 13 begins with the word wherefore. Paul says, "Wherefore take unto you." Wherefore. Now any time that you find the word wherefore in the Word of God, you should always ask the question, what is that wherefore, therefore? You should always ask that question. And of course, this wherefore in verse number 13 is pointing back to the preceding verses. So what's Paul saying here at the beginning of verse number 13? My friend, Paul is saying, because the proceeding is true, you as a Christian should take unto you the whole armor of God. Paul is saying, because the devil and his cohorts that I told you about in verse number 12, because the devil and his cohorts hate God, hate the Bible, hate the church, hate the saints, because this is true, you as a Christian should take unto you the whole armor of God. That is what Paul is saying in the opening words of verse number 13. Now listen, my friend, the devil in the Word of God is presented as an angel of light. Also, he is presented as a roaring lion. Now, as an angel of light, he is known for his deceptiveness. But as a roaring lion, he is known for his destructiveness. And you can mark it down. If you are saved by the grace of God, the devil would like to destroy you. Most certainly he would. He would like to destroy your influence and your power and your testimony. And because this is true, you as a Christian should take unto you the whole armor of God. Now listen, my friend. The devil and the hosts of hell are marshaled against the saints of God. And you as a Christian should not underestimate the power of the devil. Do not underestimate the power of the enemy. It's been said that one of the wisest generals that ever lived in England said this. He said, "In time of war, the worst mistake is to underrate your enemy and try to make a little war." My friend, as a Christian, do not underestimate the power of the enemy. Do not underestimate the power of the devil. The devil is a powerful creature. He is a powerful creature. This is clearly pointed out in Jude, verse number 9. Jude, verse number 9 says this, "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation." And the Word of God tells us here in verse number 9 that Michael durst not bring against him, or the devil, a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord." My friend Michael realized the power of the devil. And he said, the Lord rebuke me. He understood and realized the power of the devil. The devil is a powerful creature. And I don't care how long you've been saved, how much you read the Bible, how much you know about the Bible, how high on the ladder of spirituality that you are, how much you pray, you are no match for the devil. You are no match for the devil. The devil is stronger than man. But although he is stronger than man, he is not divine. Although the devil is stronger than man, he is less than divine. But although the devil is less than divine, he is still yet a powerful creature. As a matter of fact, the devil is the most powerful creature. Are you listening? The devil is the most powerful creature. Not being, but creature. Now God is not a creature, but He is the Creator. But the devil is the most powerful creature in all of the universe. This is clearly what the Word of God teaches. And my Christian friend, realizing the power of the devil should disarm you of self-confidence and cause you to take unto you the hold on of God. Most certainly it should. Now, when we come to the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 4, the Christian is told to put on clothing suited to the saint. But when they come to chapter number 6, the Christian is told to put on clothing suited to the soldier. And here in verse number 13, Paul says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." That's what he says. Now I want you to notice these words, "take unto," that Paul uses here in verse number 13. These words, "take unto," used in this particular verse, are really a technical expression. Paul is here saying, "take up arms." That's what Paul is saying. He is saying, "take up arms." Right here in this passage of Scripture, we have a call to arms. A call to arms. But there's something else I want you to take careful notice of here in verse number 13. Here in verse number 13, the word "take" is used, but the word "make" is not used. And my friend, there's a vast difference between "take" and "make." There's a vast difference between "taking" and "making." The armor that Paul speaks of here in this passage is not man-made, but it is God-furnished. And therefore, Paul says, take, not make. Take unto you the whole armor of God. My friend, it is God's responsibility to provide the armor. But it is the Christian's responsibility to put on the armor. That is the Christian's responsibility. In the Apostle Paul's days, no Roman soldier provided his own armor. Armor was provided for every Roman soldier. And when we come to the Word of God, we find that the Christian is not asked to provide their own armor. It is God's responsibility to provide the armor. It is the Christian's responsibility to put on the armor that God has already provided. Now that's as far as we're going today with the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? You listen to the broadcast next week, and if God allows, we will bring the 12th part of this particular message. But in closing today, I want to say this. If you are listening to this broadcast today, and you have never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you are lost and on your way to hell. You are lost and on your way to hell if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're listening to this broadcast, and the Holy Spirit of God has opened your eyes to the fact that you are lost and that you need to be saved, you can be at this time. If you want to be saved, I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you. And He will. And you'll know it. Heavenly Father, we thank You for helping us to bring this message today. I pray that You will save every soul that is calling upon You at this time. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.